if you've been here all year, we've been talking about, you know, getting to know God, drawing closer to God. And so everything, that is kind of the main thread, the main theme that the pastors and the elders and everybody that's up at the pulpit has been talking about. Because if there's one thing that we should be doing is, how do we get closer to God? How can we reach out and grab a hold of Him and walk with Him? That should be a desire, like it says, those two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus.
Yeah.
That Jesus came up and walked with them. And it says their hearts begin to burn. And we walk with Christ, our hearts begin to burn. And He'll illuminate our understanding. And I don't want to be a baby walking with Christ anymore. I want to be a man. I want to see men and women walking with Him, arm in arm. Amen. Because He's going somewhere. He's got a plan that He's accomplishing. And I want to be part of that. So let's pray right now and ask God just to bless this word this morning. Father, we come before You. We do want to walk with You. We want to walk with You. We want to talk with You. We want to know what Your heart is speaking in this very moment. And I pray, Lord, for Pastor John right now, we ask that the Spirit of God would just move mightily upon him, that You would touch our hearts, and, Lord, that You would increase our vision, the passion that we would have. Father, I pray right now that You just bless this word, bless us as we sit here and worship You through our attention. And Lord, even more than that, that our will would be motivated to put it into action. Father, bless this time. We ask in Jesus' mighty name, and we all said, amen.
So over the past few months, if you've been around, as Pastor Don said, we've been talking about getting to know God. We've seen that there's absolutely nothing that is more important than knowing our Creator and learning how to get as close to Him as we possibly can. Knowing who God is, knowing what He's like, knowing what He expects from us, and getting to know Him in a personal way, in an intimate way, is the most important thing that we could ever do in our life. It really is. What could be more important? I mean, without knowing God, and, you know, how are we supposed to determine then who we are, what, you know, what our purpose is, what is necessary for us to do in this life that we live? We wouldn't know. How can anybody determine those important things without the truth, without knowing the facts, without knowing the truth? So, if we do know and understand God's truth, and we know God well enough to be able to walk in His ways, then everything becomes so much clearer. And we learn then how to live wisely. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. Because God wants His people, He wants us, He wants you and me to be wise. He really does. To think, to act wisely, and to walk in that wisdom. Just like if you do it, if you're a parent, think about this. Don't you want your kids to have wisdom? Don't you, you know, I mean, isn't it a great feeling to think that, yeah, my kid's really doing, he's doing it right. You know, he's living right, they're doing good, they're making the right decisions, they're following the right way, they're following the Lord, they're doing, you know, whatever it is that we know, that we believe that they should be doing. We want them to do well. We want them to do right. We want them to be wise in their ways, in their thinking, in their understanding. No, I don't hear anybody going around bragging, saying, I'm so glad my kids are so stupid. I'm so glad my kids don't know. I'm so glad I never revealed the way to live to my kids. I'm so glad I never told them anything about how to live their life. Would you ever do that? Of course not. And God is the perfect Father, so of course He wants us to be wise. If you turn with me to Kings, 1 Kings chapter 3, I'm going to read a little bit of scripture here. 1 Kings 3, 5 through 14, it says, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. And Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. I love that it says that. We know that David blew it. And yet, here we see a report that he's still seen as faithful and upright because he was forgiven, because he humbled himself and was forgiven. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. He's talking about himself. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child, and I don't know how to carry out my duties. I don't know what to do. I know it's a good thing. I know you love my dad. I know that, you know, you made a promise to him, and now I'm here on the throne. But I don't know what to do, God. I'm just a kid. Your servant is here among the people that you have chosen. I'm in charge of all your people. Look at them. A great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant, now he's asking for something, a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? He realizes he can't do it in his own. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. He didn't say, you idiot. He didn't say, what's the matter with you? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David, your father, did, there it is again. God saying this. If you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands as David did. I love that line because I could say, as you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands as Esther did, as Betty did, as Donovan does, and Elma, and John, Kenny, and Jim, and Mary Jo. See, if we are humbling ourselves and we're asking forgiveness, that's the way God sees us. That's the way he saw David. We saw all the dirt. We read about it in the book. And yet, God says he walked in his ways, obeyed his statutes and commands. That's a good thing to know. Then he says, if you do that, I'll give you a long life. Now we go to 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29, and just a little bit more. It says that God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Man, that's a lot. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than the whole country of Egypt together. He was wiser than any other man. And it gives a bunch of names. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were numbered 1,005. God wants us, his people, to be wise like that. Isn't that amazing? It says that Solomon described all plant life from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the walls. He also taught about animals and birds and reptiles and fish. Men of all nations came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. There never was and never will be anyone as wise as Solomon. We can have this wisdom still, but it says right there, there never was and never will be anyone as wise as Solomon. Wouldn't it be great if he was still alive and we could go visit him and, hey, Solomon, I got this problem. Can you explain to me what to do? Solomon, where should I invest in here? Solomon, how should I handle this problem with my kids? Solomon, I'm thinking about, you know, moving here. What do you think I should do about that? I mean, over and over, we could, you know, it would be great to have someone like that you could go to. Well, we can't do that because Solomon is dead. But the wisdom that Solomon had, it didn't die with him. The wisdom that he had didn't die with him because it really wasn't his wisdom. It was the wisdom of God. It was heavenly wisdom that Solomon had free access to. Proverbs 1:20 says that wisdom cries out in the street. It's crying out now. This wisdom, if you read the book of Proverbs, there's so many things about wisdom. And it's calling to those who have ears to hear to come and learn from me. To come and to seek wisdom, to find wisdom, to run after wisdom. Because wisdom is important. This wisdom can be ours as we get close to God. God wants us, He wants His people to live and walk wisely. He really does. Because it honors Him. When God's people are wise, it brings honor to God. When we live with wisdom and walk in this wisdom and people see how we act and how we live wisely, it brings honor to God. We saw in 1 Kings 3:9 that Solomon asked for a discerning heart. He wanted to be able to distinguish right from wrong. We're told that God gave Solomon this great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. We were just at the seashore. We were walking on the sand, and there's so much sand there, it's unbelievable. I couldn't imagine somebody trying to count the particles, the grains of sand just on one beach. And Lake Michigan, you got the whole side of our state is this pure white sand. And then you got four other great lakes. Then you got all the coasts of the country. Then you have all the oceans and all the sand in all the oceans. And could somebody in here give me a count of that sand? That would be impossible. I don't think it could ever be done, except by God. That's why he says here, he gave him wisdom and understanding is measureless. It says, as measureless as the sand on the seashore. This wisdom that we're talking about is a very practical kind of wisdom, but it's also a spiritual wisdom. It works, it goes beyond all realms because it's the wisdom of God. Godly wisdom is the ability to have God's insight into the true nature of something and be able to discern then the proper course of action that we should take based on God's truth so that everything will fall into place and there will be a good and just conclusion. The right conclusion. True wisdom is the ability to think and act as God would. Does that sound crazy? That we should be able to think and act as God would? It might sound a little crazy, but it's not. God wants us to have this wisdom. It doesn't mean we're going to have all of it and know everything like God does. That's why we have to be led by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God does know everything. And as we are led by the Spirit, we can walk in wisdom. Because that's part of the job of the Holy Spirit, is to lead us and guide us and remind us of all the things that have been said, that Jesus said, lead us into all truth. Counsel us, teach us. 1 Corinthians talks about us having the mind of Christ. God wants us to, you know, to clothe ourselves with Christ and put on the mind of Christ. In other words, think like Him. That's God's goal for us. He wants us to learn how to think like Christ. We know God's ways and thoughts are far, far above our ways. But God can reveal His ways and His thoughts to anyone and at any time as He so chooses. And believe me, He wants to. He wants to do this. This is how we fulfill His purpose on earth, as we hear and understand what He wants. Remember what Jesus said? I only speak what my Father tells me to speak. I only do what my Father tells me to do. That's why Jesus was walking in wisdom. He was filled with the Spirit beyond measure. So He had perfect communion with the Father. So He was able to hear the thoughts, to know the thoughts, to know what actions, what things to do, what things to say. So how do we get hold of this wisdom? How do we partake of this amazing wisdom of God? Do we go to college and do we get a master's degree in wisdom? Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. Godly wisdom isn't something that you can just learn and go to school and learn. It's not something you can buy or beg or borrow and steal. Godly wisdom comes from God as He sees fit. He may hide something from you for a time, and then He may reveal it at another time. It's as He chooses. We may not be ready for something at a particular time, and then later on we are. It's as God chooses. But there are things that we can do to get hold of this wisdom. There is a way that we can grow in wisdom so that we can walk in wisdom. And there are some ideas right here in God's Word, some ways that God teaches us to grow in wisdom. The first thing is in Psalm 111, verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding." So it starts right there by saying the fear of the Lord, which it doesn't mean to be afraid of God. What it means is to honor Him, to respect Him, to revere Him, to be in awe of God. To have such a high degree of respect for God and for His Word that we will feel compelled to want to follow His Word. We wouldn't think of ignoring or rejecting His Word because of how much we respect and admire Him. We know that God is perfect in every way. His Word is perfect. And if we ignore it, we ignore it to our own peril. And on top of that, we know how much God loves us. So this all has to do with fearing the Lord, so that this is the beginning. This is where it all starts. We first recognize how amazing, how awesome, how all-knowing, how perfect God is. And that His wisdom is beyond compare, and that He wants to share it with us because He loves us. So that's step one. The second part, Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." So it's telling us we have to humble ourselves. Pride fills us up with so much of ourself, this self, this carnal nature, with our own inflated opinion of ourself, that we can't even hear God. Pride is like spiritual earwax. Imagine if your ear had wax so full that it was totally full and there was nothing, no air, no sound could get in. It sounded like you were underwater or worse. It wouldn't allow us to hear anything. And that's what pride is sort of like. It's like spiritual earwax. Not a very pretty sight, is it? But when we humble ourselves, like Solomon did, remember, Lord, I don't know what to do. I need your help. Solomon was, he knew that he didn't know it all. So we have to, you know, humble ourselves and realize that we don't know it all. We don't know what to do. We have to go to God and say, God, I need your help. And it's when we finally get to that place of humility that God's voice can now be heard through all the chatter, all the talking heads, all the, you know, the advice, all the stuff that's out there that's vying for our attention, trying to get us to listen to it where God wants us to listen to Him, the voice of wisdom. He wants to share His wisdom with us. And there's another thing too, and it's connected to humility, and that is to ask. We have to not only fear God and honor Him and revere Him, we not only have to humble ourselves, but then we have to go to God and ask for help. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. See, we have an inside line there with God. All we got to do is go ask. God wants His children, as I said earlier, to walk in wisdom, and He wants to share this wisdom with us. But we have to humble ourselves and go to Him. Just like a wise parent is not going to constantly be telling his children every single thing to do all the time. At some point we learn, at a certain stage, now when they're little kids, we do tell them. But as they grow up, we have to become more selective and let them come to us. And if you think about this, because when they come to us and ask, they're much more willing to hear. Whereas if they hear us telling them all the time, eventually they start to tune us out. And God doesn't want us to tune him out. So we need to go to Him and ask Him. Humble ourselves. Ask for help. He wants to give, and He'll give generously. We need to remember that asking for wisdom is not a one-time thing either. You know, we go to God and we ask for help. We didn't just ask Him for, you know, He's not going to give us the wisdom to answer or to take care of every need, every question, every problem that could ever arise in our life. This poor little mind of mine would explode. Yours too. We couldn't handle all that information. God has so much knowledge, it's there's no bounds, it's unlimited. That's why it's not really our wisdom that's all in here, it's His wisdom coming in as we need it. And so we have to go back to God on a regular basis. And we go back to Him when we get involved in a situation, and once again we ask for wisdom. It's sort of like the manna in the desert. He didn't let them store that up, except on Saturday, because they weren't going to, before the Sabbath. He let them store up for one day at that time. He gave them a little bit of extra. But otherwise, every day they had to go out and collect the manna. And the people that tried to get a whole bunch and store it up, maybe they were going to sell it, I don't know what they were going to do, it turned rotten. God will give us all the wisdom we need when we need it, as long as we learn to humble ourselves and ask for help. There's an example of this, another example of this, in Luke chapter 12, verse 11 and 12, it says, this is how the Holy Spirit helps us with this wisdom. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. At that time. So God's saying, don't worry. You don't have to have everything always ahead of time. We have to learn to trust God. See, that's part of that. Going to God and seeking His wisdom, knowing that He's going to respond to us, knowing that He's going to speak to us. If He gave us everything all at once, if our minds could even handle it, then we could just tell God, okay, I don't need you anymore. But we do need God. We need Him all the time. And so, at the time we need wisdom, we need to seek God, and He'll pour it out. Usually, our biggest hindrance to getting God's wisdom is right up here. It's our own mind. You know what happens? We automatically think, and this isn't something we do against God, we don't do this on purpose, but we automatically think, I can handle this. And so we jump in and we start taking care of whatever it is. Whether we have the ability or not, whether we know what to do, we know what to say, we know what to think, it doesn't matter. We just think, I can do this. But it doesn't always work, does it? Maybe some things we have learned. Maybe we've learned biblical principles and we have learned how to do a lot of things. We should be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should be learning how to, you know, growing up into maturity and into adults, you know, being able to take the meat of the Word. We should be growing in those kind of ways. But we're still not going to know everything. There's no way. We'll never know it all. We always will need to go to God for wisdom. I once read a book by a man by the name of J.I. Packer called Knowing God. It's been a long time. I read it a long time ago, but I remember, and I actually wrote down a quote from that book, and I wanted to read it to you. It says, "Not until we have become humble and teachable, standing in awe of God's holiness and sovereignty, acknowledging our own littleness, distrusting our very own thoughts, and willing to have our minds turned upside down, can divine wisdom become ours." That's the kind of, we got to get to that point where we know we don't know. We understand that we don't have it all, that we have to go to God. True wisdom is God letting us, letting me, letting you have access into His mind, His thoughts, His ways. It's a sacred place. It's like going into the Holy of Holies. It's like it's a special place to get into God's mind, into His heart, into His thinking, to be able to go there. We have to step outside of this carnal nature, this fleshly nature, because that part of us can't get in there. God's not going to reveal, share His deep secrets with our flesh. I mean, some things maybe He may allow us to have so that we can get to Him, so that we can learn about Him. But He's not going to share everything with this flesh. And this flesh wouldn't want to go to God to learn anyway. This flesh wants to do it all on its own. This flesh only wants for selfish purposes. James says, we ask but we don't receive because we ask with selfish motives to spend what we get on our own pleasures. Our flesh isn't going to get the wisdom that we want from God. So we have to step outside the flesh and get into the Spirit. And be led by the Spirit. I was imagining going into the Situation Room at the White House during a planning strategy. Or maybe going into the Pentagon when they're, you know, doing something, preparing themselves for a certain battle or something like that. You don't get to go in there. If you were to even try to go in there, you'd have to go through all kinds of background checks, fingerprinting, interviews, and who knows what else. But with God, all we have to do is humble ourselves and ask for His help. And then He will lead us by His Holy Spirit to that wisdom. He gives us access to His wisdom. It's better than the World Wide Web. God's wisdom is better than Google. It's better, we think like we have all this knowledge, and there is a lot of knowledge, a lot of facts on there, but all those facts all together are just other people sharing what they think they know. There's as much disinformation and mistakes and problems on there as there is real knowledge. God leads us by His Holy Spirit. I'm not saying you can't find good stuff on the web, because you can. But we have to be careful. Just because it's on there doesn't mean it's the truth. So we have to be led by the Spirit of God. In Ephesians 1:17, in fact, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Wisdom. The Spirit of Wisdom and Truth. As we enter in, as we're led by the Spirit and we enter into God's presence, we can put on the mind of Christ. And God will open up our eyes. He'll open up our ears. He'll open up our heart to see the beauty of His way, the perfection of beauty, the more excellent way, the most excellent way, His way of love. Proverbs 8:11 tells us, wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Wisdom. Think about that. Nothing you desire can compare to wisdom. Better to have wisdom than to have a large bank account. Better to have wisdom than to have anything else. Nothing, it says, compares to that wisdom. That's God's word. It's not mine. Having free access to the wisdom of God is a privilege that is given to His people. It's free access. It's open. God welcomes us to come to Him. Come and drink. Come, all you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And at the same time, He'll give us wisdom. God's Word is there for anyone to read. It's there for the whole world to look at. But God's people are led by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit opens up our eyes to see into that Word and see the depths of that Word, the understanding, the wisdom of that Word that God intended for us to see. There's still a veil over the eyes of the world, but God will give insight into His Word to His people. This wisdom is a blessing from God. And when we walk in this wisdom, what happens is not only are we blessed ourselves, and we are, we will be, but so will our family be, so will God be, because we're walking in His ways, and so will those around us be. All those we're connected to. In the book of James 3, we learn that there are two kinds of wisdom. I'm going to read this scripture today. It's sort of an introduction because next week I'm going to be coming back and going into these two different types of wisdom, and we're going to look at them, and we're going to see that they have far-reaching consequences, the two different types, life-changing consequences, life-altering consequences, depending on which kind of wisdom we choose. James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." This is earthly wisdom. "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." One type of wisdom is earthly and unspiritual and of the devil. It causes division, destruction, and ultimately death. The other kind of wisdom, heavenly wisdom, is from God. And this wisdom brings unity. It brings God's favor. And it brings life. Life. And it also brings along with it many wonderful blessings. And we're going to look at those next week, and we're going to see what this wisdom can bring for you as we learn to walk in it. So next week when we come back, we're going to look at the dangers of the earthly wisdom and how to avoid them, and the blessings that God has in store for us as we walk in His heavenly wisdom. So if I could have the prayer team come forward. We're going to close in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You. We thank You so much that You give us free access to Your unlimited wisdom, to Your unlimited knowledge. Lord, You are all-knowing. You know the end from the beginning. You know everything. Everything about us. Everything about every situation. Everything about this world. And Lord, You've made it available. All this wisdom, You've made it available for us to tap into as we have need. And Lord, we thank You that You love us so much that You've called us to be Your children, and You want to bless us. You want to train us and teach us and help us to walk in this wisdom. Lord, help us to fear You, to honor, to revere, to respect, to be in awe of You. Help us to humble ourselves before You so that we can come to You and ask for this wisdom. Lord, we want to be a wise people. We want to be a blessing to You, to others around us, to our church, to our family, to ourselves. And we know that for this to happen, Lord, we need to have Your wisdom. So, Lord, I pray that each one of us, that all those hearing this message and even next week's message, will grow in wisdom, walk in wisdom, will learn how to get in touch with you and receive this wisdom. Lord, I pray your blessing upon your church, your people. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this wisdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.